Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of our sermon this morning is the gospel lesson that we just heard read, but we're also going to include verses 1 and 2. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." This is God's Word. In the name of our risen and reigning Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. When I was growing up, we often took trips to central Pennsylvania to visit my mother's family. And, much to my father's chagrin, we had to take the Pennsylvania Turnpike. And there are several tunnels on the turnpike that you have to pass through. I can still remember passing out of the daylight and going into those dark tiled tubes, dimly lit with lights, and my little brother and little sister and I looking through the windshield, eagerly waiting until we could see the first rays of the light at the end of the tunnel. And that was sort of gray. And then suddenly you would come out of those tunnels into the bright and radiant sunshine of the day. The season of Lent is a little bit like those dark tunnels. We just passed through 6 weeks of that dark tunnel, and it was a somber time, serious time, even though we looked at the Lord's names of wondrous love, because we also focused on our sins and the guilt of our sins and the punishment we deserve from God because of our sins and the suffering that the Son of God and Son of Man had to go through to redeem us from our sins. Today is different. Today we're out of the tunnel of Lent, and we've come into the radiant, bright glory of Easter Sunday. And we want to look at one more name of wondrous love, the light. Jesus Christ is the light. And we'll follow Mary from the great darkness of the night through the gray of the early dawn and then into the radiant glory of recognizing her risen Savior. Mary Magdalene came early to Jesus' tomb while it was still dark. Anyone who has lost a loved one and stood at a filled grave knows that it wasn't just dark on the outside for Mary, but it was also dark for her inside her heart. She had followed Jesus. She had heard him preach. She had believed in him as her Savior. And then she had seen him crucified, dead, and buried. And now she came very early in the morning to begin that final embalming process with ointment, outwardly wrapping Jesus up in those. She had seen the men hurriedly place Jesus' body into this tomb and roll the stone away. How can we even imagine the blackness of her heart as she sobbed later to Peter and John, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." And what I think is one of the greatest ironies of Easter Sunday, Mary was disappointed that Jesus wasn't still dead in the tomb. Because then she could have loved him, she could have served him by wrapping up his body and finishing what was done according to the custom of the Jews. But she couldn't even do that now, because she got there and the stone was rolled away and the body of Jesus was gone. There was darkness outside for Mary. There was darkness in her heart. Maybe you felt that way sometime. Maybe you're feeling that way now. You know, sometimes when people are in the darkness of despair or sadness, they talk about that it felt like I was in a tunnel and couldn't get out. Maybe you have family problems, financial problems, problems with those regular sins that keep popping up every day, or then those unique sins that get a hold of us every once in a while when we maybe thought that they never would be able to do that. But today, you and I see the light. And we know that there is light at the end of the tunnel of those difficulties and those problems and those challenges. That light is Jesus Christ, who paid for all of your sins. As I said this morning, it bears repeating, from the height of the cross, Jesus looked over the whole world and he didn't see a single person whose sins he had not paid for, who he had not redeemed. And so he said, "It is finished. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." We follow Mary Magdalene this morning from that darkness of night. Not just before the dawn, when they say it gets the darkest, but also in that darkness that was in her heart because she did not find Jesus where they had left him. Darkness must yield to that gray dawn. If you're an early morning person or if you've ever been out at daybreak, you know before the light, brightness of day comes in the fall, you have that period of sort of dark shadows, sort of a gray sky. And every day that happens. Every day the darkness must give way and yield to the dawn. And so as Mary stood there, the night was beginning to disappear and that gray dawn was beginning to rise. It should have occurred to Mary, but how easy isn't it for us to look at people in the Bible and say, you know, they should have done that. Or they should have thought that, or they should have realized that, thinking that we would have reacted differently when maybe we wouldn't have. But she should have recognized, having been with him who said, "I am the truth," who prayed, "Sanctify them through the truth," who heard Jesus say that if you continue in my word, you will know the truth and it will set you free. She should have known that the disciples had not stolen Jesus' body. Because the last thing the disciples would have done was tell a lie about what had happened to Jesus. That was the rumor. That's what some people thought. But the disciples never would have thought to do that because that would not have been the truth. And Mary should have realized, giving her the benefit of the doubt, she could have realized that no Roman soldier or official stole Jesus' body, that certainly the chief priests and the elders didn't come and steal Jesus' body. Why not? Because they wanted him dead. They wanted him out of the way. The last thing they would have wanted was for Jesus' tomb to be empty. And so gradually now, Mary will begin to see that light at the end of the tunnel as events begin to unfold. And that is true also for the other disciples. You read about the appearances of Jesus on Easter, how he appeared to Peter. He appeared to the other disciples. He appeared later to the women. He appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. So the light was starting to rise in their hearts as they were beginning to see and understand what had happened. Although, as Jesus told some of them, you still don't understand from Scripture that this had to take place. But they were beginning to see the light of Jesus Christ living again. It was beginning again to enlighten their darkened souls. In an instant, Mary's gray dawn, or gray pre-dawn, was turned into the brightness of the light of Christ. She came back later when the sun was shining. It was day, and she could see clearly now that the tomb was empty. And a man came up to her, and for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit hasn't chose to tell us, she didn't recognize Jesus until he was ready to reveal himself to her. So she had a discussion with him, perhaps as the gardener, maybe he had moved his body. Maybe somebody had stolen it. Maybe he would know what had happened. And then in a single word, the word of God, Mary, the radiant light of the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ shined in her heart. She said, Rabboni, Master, it's you. She could now see that her Savior was alive. The name of wondrous love, the light, now would shine radiantly into her heart. It was like traveling in that dark tunnel through the gray light into the brightness of the day. She had traveled from that darkness of fear and uncertainty to the gray light of beginning to wonder and hear from others or see from the angels what was going on. And now she would see that light of Christ. Here was her Lord. The tomb, the new tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, was now empty. The name of wondrous love, the light, is a name that gives brightness to our dark days of fear and uncertainty. It gives us that light of the glory of God in the face of Christ. It is that light that Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever walks in my light will never see darkness again. The Father had laid on His Son the guilt of us all and crucified Him. But Jesus' resurrection is the shining proof that He is God, that He paid for all of our sins, and that one day our physical bodies, all people's physical bodies, will one day rise. Believers will rise to new life with Him in heaven. During that time between Jesus coming to life in the grave and His appearing to the disciples, Jesus descended into hell. Not as part of His suffering, remember, it is finished, but as part of His exaltation and glory. He descended into hell to show Himself alive to Satan and all the demons and all who had not believed in Him, whose souls were in hell already. He showed them that He had conquered their unbelief, that He had conquered their sin, or rather He had conquered the devil and his temptations. Sadly, it was too late for them. But He showed the devil that he was now powerless. That as we hear God's word and we see that light shining into our hearts, we no longer need to be in that darkness of sin and unbelief. Because Jesus lives, we also will live. The victory of Easter's glorious battle rises above our hearts like the shining sun. In my favorite Easter hymn, we sing, "The strife is o'er, the battle done." Easter's glorious light brightens our darkest days, and it brightens our last days. If you and I die before the Lord Jesus returns, most likely will be put into a grave or into a drawer in a mausoleum. And if enough time passes, people will probably lose track of us. Maybe the weeds will grow over our graves and cover our headstones. Maybe the elements will wipe off our names and the dates of our birth and the dates of our death that are on the front of those mausoleums. Maybe people will forget that we ever lived or that we ever died. But God will not forget. God will never forget that we lived or that we died. He will always remember us in what Jesus did for us. He will remember us in the cross and the empty tomb. As long as the world stands, we find our greatest joy in the risen Savior, who said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Amen.